We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis.
And you know, Matt, I need to start getting things right the first time. I find myself in my old age having to go back and make corrections over and over again. And I've got, maybe not a correction, but an addition this time. You remember I asked you, why is it that Mark and Luke don't seem to know that Matthew is the tax collector that Jesus calls to be his disciple? Because the peculiarity is, they know Matthew.
Yeah.
When you look at their list of the apostles, Matthew is there. But no, when it comes to the story about the guy who's in the tax booth, right? We talked about that story. They call him Levi.
Yeah.
And so I was wrestling with why that is. Again, I'll throw it out to you. Do you have any idea why that is? But I'll tell you the thought that came to me. But,
yeah, John. You know, no, I am all ears. Okay. Please.
Well, when we had this initially, I said maybe they just didn't know. Because after all, Luke is getting his information later. We're not really sure what Mark's relationship would have been to Jesus at this point. So it is possible that maybe they didn't know. But I have a better idea. Okay. And again, this is just a theory. I wonder if they weren't just being polite. You know what I'm saying? Because what's it? Well, Matthew tells us this. When your brother sins against you, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. So, forgive, but go to that brother and talk to them.
Yeah. To him and him alone, it says. So I wonder if they were just saying, well, it's not really for us to say that this was Matthew. So we'll use the other name, Levi, people. Yeah. And that way we won't embarrass Matthew. And then I think what's cool then when Matthew writes his gospel, he says, no, it was me. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for Luke for not trying to embarrass me, but it was me. Yeah. In fact, again, as we talked about, when Matthew gives the list of the disciples, he says, Matthew, the tax collector.
Yes, so, I know. Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, specifically. He didn't have to do that, but he does.
Yeah. So I was kind of thinking, it's like you and me, you know, I don't get on the air and talk about how the fact that you are a master art thief, that you've stolen from the Louvre and from the British Museum and stuff. You know, I don't make a big deal out of that. I could. Oh, Matt,
I'm sorry.
I wasn't supposed to tell people that. You told me that in private, didn't you? Oh, well. Can you forgive me, Matt?
Sure, John.
All right.
Of course.
Okay, I hope Interpol won't be at your door tonight.
I thought you were going to call me Levi.
All right, Levi. That's right.
That's Levi the art thief.
That's
Levi.
Right. Yeah. It's not Matt. Did I give that? No, it was Levi. So, dear, police officers, no, we're not talking about Matt Clark. No, obviously not. He's not the master.
Not this
art
Matthew.
Thief.
No. Levi. Levi Clark, yeah.
Anyway, that was intended to be my humorous introduction.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea of, you know.
Have you been an art thief?
No.
Oh.
But, yeah, there's the special compassion perhaps Mark and Luke were having. Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but it is kind of a peculiarity.
Yeah.
I can see that because I hope people understand that it's not our job to point out all the sins. Now, obviously, if there's a outward public sinner, that's what Matthew also says. Then you need to go tell it to the church. If someone's doing something and they don't repent of it, when you've talked to them about it, well, then, yeah, you got to tell it to the church. And if they won't listen to the church, well, then again, you treat them like they're a tax collector and sinner, which, of course, means that you love them and you would hope to bring them to repentance. But that's not what I want to talk about today anyway, Matt.
All right, John. What are we talking about today?
Yeah. Well, so I had the privilege of preaching at a church called the Lutheran Church of the Ascension. How about
that?
That
sounds nice.
Yeah. You're not going to sue them, are you? For stealing your name.
That's right.
But no. You're not. You are simply Ascension Lutheran, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the church constitution, probably, I think, is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Ascension, but sort of a mouthful, but yes.
Yeah. So you go by Ascension Lutheran. The Lutheran Church of the Ascension, which thought was kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess to avoid a confusion with the church down there in St. Louis.
We appreciate that. Yeah, thanks to our brothers and sisters up in Minnesota.
Yeah, Burnsville, if you're looking. But anyway, they're in a transition. Their pastor is taking a call, and they're not really sure what they're going to do, whether they can actually call a pastor, whether they need to get an interim, or whether they need to go into a relationship with another congregation.
Sure.
And it just so happened that the text that we had for that Sunday, the gospel, was perfect for anybody who's looking for a shepherd. So can we just read that text? I think you'll see how appropriate it is.
Oh, that's great, John. And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners probably are, you know, and their churches are, their congregations are, and probably similar, you know, circumstances as Burnsville, right? What do we do?
Yeah.
Is there a shepherd out there for us, right? And what might that look like for us as a church? Okay, well, good, John. Let's look at this. I think this is helpful.
So the text actually gives advice to people in that situation. It also makes a wonderful good news promise, but it also has some pretty harsh things to say too. So if you wouldn't mind reading verses, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 37.
Okay, here we go. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
And 37 too.
Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
And 38 as well.
Okay. There,
sorry, Pat.
That's okay. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
So it's interesting, by the way, it just occurred to me as you were reading this, just what you talked about last week. So not only is Paul going out and preaching the gospel and seeking to go to Rome, Jesus is doing the same thing, isn't he? All the cities and all the villages, he's heading out. And he too will be persecuted for doing that, but he keeps doing that. So a little application from last week. But the thing that struck me as interesting is, how did Jesus see the crowds in his day?
Harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah. And I realize I don't know that we see ourselves as that way, but that's how God sees us if we don't have a shepherd. I was really shocked because the language here, it's just ugly. I don't think the English really captures the ugliness of the language here. For example, Matt, I discovered that the word harassed actually comes from the Greek word to be flayed. So the picture is the sheep is like stuck in a thorn bush, and of course there's nobody there to free it from that thorn bush, no one to cut it. So every time it struggles to get away, the thorns are just sticking into its flesh.
Yeah.
This next word, helpless, that's actually the Greek word for to take something and throw it away and have nothing to do with it. It's the word that is used of Judas when he throws away his 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, see, that's an ugly word. It's even uglier in the Old Testament because it's used in the Old Testament when you have a dead body and instead of showing it any respect, you just throw it away. You don't want anything to do with it. Jeremiah 22, with the burial of a donkey, he shall be buried, dragged and dumped. Dumped is the same word we have here, beyond the gates of Jerusalem. For those that love the Apocrypha, Second Maccabees, for he by the hand of God was cast down and lay speechless without all hope of life. Same word that is used. So see, that's a really ugly term too. It's not just being helpless, but someone's just throwing you away, doesn't want anything to do with you, hopes you just rot. And the same thing. Well, read on, Matt. Let's read on a few more verses here.
Well, I mean, this is just this is what life is like as a sheep without a shepherd. You know, for literal sheep, but also for these crowds that day too. This is what's life like. What it's like without a shepherd. Yeah.
And see, I know we don't admit that, but that's something we all have to recognize. And I'm hoping that right now our listeners are all doing well. I hope everybody listen to us now. Have all kinds of blessings and joy that, in fact, when we go to bed tonight, we can say thank you to the God who's provided us richly and daily with all that we need to support the body and life, protects us from all danger, guards us and preserves us from all evil, and all this out of pure fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. That's the words from the first article in the Catechism, and that certainly is true of all of us. But on the other hand, the Bible says, number your days, because whatever earthly blessings we have now, those blessings are all going to be taken away. You're not going to be able to keep them. Every sheep, sooner or later, is going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no avoiding that. And I guess it's good that we know. Well, and what's impressive is Jesus knows that. He understands that. Maybe we need to understand it as well. The third word that is used of the sheep, if you want to read verses, read verse 5 and 6, if you would, Matt.
Yeah.
Ahead. If you got
these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the, here we are, lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And again, that's an ugly word. It's an ugly word because it's not lost in the sense that I lost my keys and if I look a little harder, I'll find them. It's more like lost in the sense of lost at sea. The word is apolumai, which you know, Matt, that means to be destroyed.
Destroyed, yeah.
Yeah, it's what Herod wants to do to the baby Jesus. Here's the passage that shows the ugliness of the word lost. Jesus says, don't be afraid of the people who can destroy. Don't fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can apolumai, who can destroy. Both the soul and body in hell, which again, I hope it's a scary thing. We don't want to acknowledge it, but that's what's going to happen to us, except as you said, unless we have a shepherd. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have a shepherd, that's where we're all headed. We're all headed to that.
Well, and I think of this passage, these words frequently, John. You know, sheep without a shepherd, as a pastor, as a shepherd of sorts, right? You know, because you know people say things or do things, you're like, oh, come on, people, you know, this don't you know any better? And sometimes, you know, I think people, well, quite frankly, just simply don't know better, right?
No.
Or you know, do things that are harmful to them or others, or you know, things that are just or believe things that are just plain wrong, right? And it's like, no, you know, they're just sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, why would, you know, without that shepherd, you know, not just a pastor, but also ultimately the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Yeah, of course you're going to be lost. Of course you're not going to know. Why would you? So I think as Jesus, and you're probably getting this, John, as Jesus has compassion on those that are like sheep without a shepherd, you know, boy, you know, may we have compassion for them too as pastors and God's people.
And I think we remember that this is what we are without Jesus.
Exactly. Us too. Any one of us. Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to be dismal. I'm not trying to be depressing. Again, like I said, I hope that all of our listeners are the sheep that are the green pastures and still waters. Okay, that we're doing all right. But we just need to remember that even that is because we have Jesus and we have a Father, as we heard, who does things without our merit or worthiness. But truly, if we were on our own, it would really be, even if we had all kinds of worldly blessings, it still would be incredibly sad because we're all going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. You mentioned shepherd. That's what I'd like to do for just a few moments. I'd like to go through the Gospel of Matthew and look at the image of shepherd that we find in Matthew.
Okay.
So I would say the first shepherd that is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew would be John the Baptist. Okay. Now, what kind of shepherdy things you see with John the Baptist? Or maybe there's kind of non-shepherdy things you see with the Baptist. Any thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, well, a call to repentance. You know, that's a shepherding thing. And then also, I think, just pointing to Christ, right? The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. So pointing people, you know, ironically to a sheep, right?
Yeah,
to the Lamb.
Yeah.
But yeah, pointing people to Christ and calling people to repentance.
So the interesting thing is, if you look at first, you might not think he is a shepherd, because generally shepherds go out. Shepherds go looking for their sheep. And John is this peculiar shepherd where he doesn't. The sheep come to him, right? All of Judea and Jerusalem come to him. But you hit it right on the head. I don't even need to say any more. The mark of a shepherd is that he proclaims. Now, the English will usually say something about that John preached in the wilderness or whatever, but the word there is actually keruso, which means to proclaim. And I've said this example before, so I don't mean to bore you or those who listen regularly, but the difference between preaching and proclamation is saying something that actually are going to change someone's life. In fact, that their life has been changed. And my analogy always is, I was convicted of murder, sentenced to die. They've strapped me into old Sparky, but before they can pull the big switch, the governor calls and says, "You're pardoned." See, that's a proclamation.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's exactly what it was with John. That's what makes him a shepherd. He was preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. See, no, you've been pardoned. That changes everything. Second shepherd is, of course, Jesus, right? He's the good shepherd. And what's neat is unlike John, he does go out. He goes out to the villages and the cities and the towns, as we already heard. And he proclaims. And you know, we didn't talk about this. Do you remember what the message was that John proclaimed about the kingdom? I'm putting you on the spot.
The kingdom is at hand.
Well, what's striking is it's the same thing. You go through the Bible, it's the same message that Jesus says. He doesn't change the message. The kingdom is at hand. And of course, as Lutherans, we know what the kingdom is. It's forgiveness, it's life, it's salvation. Because wherever there is forgiveness, there's life and salvation, right? So we who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, well, here's the thing. The kingdom is still near. It's coming. We're not going to miss out on that. So Jesus, he teaches too. Jesus not only proclaims, but he does teach us. Because who else can teach us about God, right? Mm-hmm. No one better. Well, not only better. I don't think people understand that. There's absolutely no way for you and me to know what God is like except for Jesus.
Apart from Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, no one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only one that has ascended into heaven. He's the only one that can comment truly. We can try to learn things about God from our creation, but that's it's so confusing. Sometimes he seems good. Sometimes when there's storms and earthquakes and floods, it seems like, he's not a good guy. Well, anyway, so Jesus, he proclaims, he teaches. I didn't think about this, although it's pretty obvious. What's the big thing that Jesus does that John the Baptist doesn't do?
Well, I mean, in the text here, you know, it's going to be talking about him, well, healing, right?
Yeah,
healing,
yeah.
Restoring, curing diseases, and we really don't see John doing that. We see him baptizing, but that's about it.
See, I never realized that before. So when John says, "The one who's coming after me is mightier than I," well, yeah, absolutely. John has proclaimed, but he doesn't do any wonders and signs, but Jesus does. Well, of course, because Jesus is the Son of God. Number three in terms of shepherds is what we just had in the text. These 12, well, now we'll ask you to go back and read, if you would, 10, verse 1.
Yeah, and he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction.
I want you to read just the first part there, verse 2. We won't go over all the names, but just the first.
And the names of the 12 apostles are these.
All right. So this, by the way, Matt, is the only time that Matthew uses the word apostle. I thought that was kind of striking. But that's the third shepherd. The apostles are shepherds. They are remarkably like Jesus, are they not? And that they will also go out. They will also proclaim. They will also teach. And by the way, the proclamation is the same thing. The kingdom is at hand. And they will also do miracles. Wow. It's like little mini Jesus. What's the big difference, however, between the apostles and Jesus? Because outwardly, they look the same.
Well, you know, verse 1, it says that Jesus gives them the authority to do these things. So on their own, they're not going to do anything, right? But with Jesus' authority, yeah, they are able to proclaim and to heal.
Yeah, see, that's that. And of course, you did the book of Acts last week, and you get that in the Acts, right? The apostles, they do miracles, and they say, oh, we didn't do this. We do this by the name of Jesus and stuff. So that's pretty great. Now we go back to that congregation there in Burnsville,
yeah,
and to all of us, because we need shepherds too. In fact, I'm no longer a shepherd. I miss that. I miss that. I miss having that kind of closeness to people, not just doing what I'm doing here, which is proclaiming and teaching, but to be there for people in their time of need, for joy, weddings, but also in funerals. So I envy you. I'm glad you have that, and I pray that God gives you that calling for many, many years. What's the difference, though? Well, by the way, for those who don't know it, the word pastor, that's what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Pastors, that's just the Latin for shepherd. What's different, though, for you as a shepherd as opposed to, say, the apostles?
Yeah, so I mean, these in this case, you know, the word apostle, John, means sent one, right?
Yep.
You know, so
yep,
these guys are sent in these towns and villages and these different regions. So I think one difference is, you know, I'm called, sent, so to speak, to a very specific place.
Yep. Yeah.
So here it's Ascension Lutheran Church, St. Louis, Missouri, and for me, there's a great comfort in that, to know that, you know, especially on those days where you feel like, boy, you know, can I do this, Lord? You know, and which is almost every day, John, you know, just this unworthiness, not only to be, you know, a child of God, but also an unworthiness to be a shepherd, a pastor to God's people, his sheep. But then there's comfort in that call, knowing, well, yeah, God has called me here, though. And, you know, if he's called me here, then I trust that he'll equip me with the gifts needed to fulfill that calling. So I think one difference is, I'm called to a specific place, and these apostles are called, they're sent out to all sorts of different villages and places.
Well, and in the end, Jesus says, you're going to make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Right, so that's right. But you're, and yet on the other hand, you still have those shepherding features that you do. You do go out. You go out to your shut-ins. You go out
sure.
to the people that are the hospitals. You go out to the inactives. You go out to people that are potential members. But you're right. So that's one big difference. You're kind of located in one spot. What other difference are there between you and these apostles?
Well, let's see. I'm not going around healing people as much,
nope,
John.
Nope.
Later we even hear that they even raised the dead, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great?
So
great.
I haven't done that yet, John, literally. You know, in this case, Jesus gives them a special authority in that respect, and it served a purpose there during his ministry that they were doing these very visible signs and miracles.
And thank you for using the word, it serves a purpose. See, you don't want to do miracles. I never wanted to do miracles, mm-hmm. even though you will go and you will pray with people, and as a result of your prayers, they will be healed, but you never go around and say, well, like, I prayed for them, that's why, no. No, because you're right. That's what apostles do. And I wasn't, and you aren't an apostle. We don't want people, especially with this show, we don't want people to think that our words are the inspired word of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it is if you're an apostle. You're no longer speaking yourself. You're speaking what Jesus speaks. But I think people pretty well understand that. Jesus would have had a lot better jokes. I'm sure he would have. So no, we don't want people to think that we have the power to, but we, in fact, just the opposite. We want people to know we are speaking the words of the Matthews and the Johns and the Peters, and ultimately then also the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in that sense, we do want people to believe us. When we say their sins are forgiven, yeah, you should believe your sins are forgiven, but not because Matt said it, but because Matt is speaking the words of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, we speak the words of God, you know, on the show even, but, you know, it's not some sort of new revelation.
No,
it's not sort of a new message. No, you know, we're not writing a new test, another testament to God's word here, but just simply speaking what's been given to us. Yeah.
So built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with the cornerstone being Jesus, and we're just another block down. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're neither the foundation nor the cornerstone, but we are the stones that are built upon this, and we'd simply give them the words of Jesus, which brings me back to the main point in all of this. It's something you mentioned at the very beginning of our study. Why do we have all these shepherds? Because Jesus looks at the crowd. He says, man, they're sheep without a shepherd. They need a shepherd. And how did he feel? What was the word that was used there? Do you remember, Matt?
Yeah, he has compassion on them.
And by the way, I learned something new, Matt, which I guess is why you know we're not Jesus, because I think Jesus probably knows everything.
Yet another piece of evidence that we are not Jesus. That's a long list, John.
So when we go to the Bible, we're constantly, oh, I didn't even see. So anyway, I didn't realize there's three Greek terms that can be translated compassion.
Okay.
One means to have feeling for someone. The other means to acts of kindness. But the word here is the word you and I love, splagnizomai, which is actually the best of all words because it means to have those deep gut-like feelings, to feel in the heart. But it also means to want to do something to change and to help those situations. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. And it is incredible to think that he is doing it through you and through me. Who would have thought that a couple of guys like us could be the answer to Jesus' splagnizomai? But we are. We are, as indeed Peter, James, and John were the answer to his compassion. And isn't it remarkable? So what we need to do, people out there, if you don't have a shepherd, you need to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. You have no control over these situations. Congregations, if you're vacant, you have no control. You don't know who's going to be there. The guy that's going to be there doesn't know it either, but God does. Yep. In fact, that's what I love about this text. Jesus says, pray, and in the very next verse, he answers the prayer, right? And the very next verse, he assembles the guys that will be the laborers in the field. In fact, he's been working at it all along. Throughout the whole Gospel of Matthew, he called Matthew, Peter, John. He knew exactly what he needed to do. He was assembling them, and now that's the way it is for us. And what does the Bible say? Before you called, I answered. So, and isn't it great to know that when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, our shepherd's rod and staff will comfort us. In fact, Matt, going back to those ugly words, I don't think those ugly words were really about us at all. I think those ugly words were about Jesus. He was the one that was flayed. He was the one that was cast out and died. He was the one that was destroyed, laid in the grave. But we know how that all worked out, and it'll work out that way for us too. Any closing thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I would just, again, encourage those who are looking for a shepherd, a pastor. And the Lord has provided for 2,000 years, right?
Yeah.
And he will continue to provide. Continue to pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Well, thank you all for listening. This indeed has been Wrestling with the Basics. We pray that you have a shepherd and that you know you do have the shepherd, Jesus Christ.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.